In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer Cali. So if you're keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
Welcome to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Black Effect Podcast Network. Make sure you download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles. For my Apple users, hit the purple mic on your front screen, subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles, and leave a 5-star rating and comment. We'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, and I'm with my dog,
Big J.
And we got our special guest in the house, special guest host, taking MC8's place while Aid is out there doing his thizzle, out there making his money. Big Court from the Holden Court Podcast. What's happening, Court?
What's going on, bro? Salute, fellas. Salute to Big J. Salute to Big Steel. Thank you for having me here. And salute to MC8. Salute to the OG MC8 as well.
For sure, for sure, for sure. You know, we were having some discussions. You know, we always talk on our own time about everything. And there seems to be a problem with drug use. It's a pervasive problem with drug use in the hip-hop culture, just an urban culture, period. I'm a product of the 70s, you know, I was born in the 70s, born in 70, raised in the 80s. And I remember there was a time to where you didn't want to be labeled as a fiend. That was the most embarrassing thing ever. You didn't want to be called no smoker. You didn't want to have nothing to do with no drugs. You remember at one time, that was a big part of the thing, even in the music. They would tell you, like, crack is whack. We not fucking with that. You know, you don't want to be no fiend. You a smoker. That was the worst thing you can call a person. But right. Now, it's just invaded the whole culture. You got these guys, they sound like they falling asleep on their tracks, man. They on, you know, it's an opiate epidemic in this country.
Right.
You know, a strong opiate epidemic. We know it's a heroin epidemic. And I know in New Orleans, for example, heroin has been the main drug since as far back as I can remember. Everybody in New Orleans was on that girl. I think they've been that for a long time. And then you had Houston with the lean movement. Mm-hmm. All of us connected back to opiates.
Yeah. You know, the strange thing, too, is still, like you said, I'm born in the 70s, raised in the 80s. You know, our parents, you know, at least my mom and her reference of drug to stay away from was heroin. You know what I'm saying? From the Vietnam, from the 60s and the 50s and shit like that. So cocaine was a, you know, that was a party drug. That was a rich people drug. So You could see how people my mother's age and even Big J, you know, their generation got broadsided by crack because they didn't know what that was. They didn't know what it was going to be. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's why I could never understand why, you know, my generation or even younger would even touch some of these hard drugs, you know, because we have reference points of what it is, cocaine and crack and all of that. And I remember, you know, I won't say no names, but, you know, we all know street people. But I remember a couple of my street cats that I know. And I would ask them, I would say, bro, how y'all still making money? Like, I ain't seen a crackhead since the 90s, really. You know what I'm saying? And the nigga told me, he said, shit. He said, these motherfuckers riding around on these 26s and you know what I mean? Like them is the customers right there. And I was blown away when he said it. I was like, damn, for real. Like, yeah. You know, so I don't know what it's you know, I don't know, bruh. You know, I don't know. It is a level of mental illness. I think we're not talking about the mental illness part of it as well. And of course, we know what the systemic part of it is, too, as well. You know what I mean? I think we're still, you know, dealing with the ripple effects of crack cocaine as well, because, you know, that shit had tentacles. I mean, you got, you know, families, you know, that were broken, mandatory minimums. You got niggas just coming home. You know what I mean? From them draconian sentences and shit. So it fragmented the family. So it's so many, it's layered. There's so many layers to the issues that we see now. And like you said, it's cool to be a fiend. I remember one of my little nephew's partners was talking about he about to go bus ahead. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking to myself, like, shit, nigga, you the junkie. Like, he on everything. He on pills. He on lean. He up. He down. He crazy. He depressed. He happy. Like, they on so much shit, bro. And that's just the culture, unfortunately. They celebrate that shit.
Watching my parents, they friends. They was on the mollies and all that shit, the marijuana, the PCP, you know, that was the drug back then. You know what I'm saying? In the 70s. Every 10 years, every year, people find different shit, different ways to get high. And all it did is elevate because marijuana didn't work no more. The mollies didn't work no more. Now you got the lean, now you got the what's them little pills? I took some of them motherfuckers before.
The fizzles, ecstasy.
Yeah, ecstasy. I pop like four ecstasy, sitting down on my knees in some white Levi's gambling, and wind up shooting one of my little homies because I was so fucked up. And but our kids today, the regular shit, the shit that they was on back then, they don't do it no more. You know what I'm saying? It don't get you high no more. So people are looking for what's going to anticipate these situations, opposed to mellow them out or whatever. Because just like you said, Norm, they doing different drugs. If they doing lean and drinking alcohol right behind it and smoking weed. So they doing four different type of drugs all in one time just to get that high. And their tolerance level is so whack. These days, they can do it all day, man. They can smoke weed hours straight. Just keep puffing weed. And some of them don't even be high.
No, that's real. That's real.
Yeah, it just gotten worse, sir. That's all it is.
Well, and they don't these days, and the weed these days is crazy. You know what I mean? When you talk about the THC in it and just, you know, how I'm like, damn, how high are you trying to be? You know what I mean? Like,
well, the thing is, Court, back in our days, I think if you smoke some good old, a good grade of reefer, you know, like they had Monkey Paw, had different, you know, strains, you was running maybe about 30-35% THC, right? You know, you smoke a joint, you get the giggles, you get the monkeys.
That was there. That's hot. That's pretty hot. You know,
but that's what I'm saying. That was some good weed back then.
Yeah.
Now the average is kind of like 54. I've seen 56. I've seen 60. And it's like, how high do you want to be? And the thing is, these, what's happening now is these kids are smoking so much weed that it's like it's becoming a thing to where they got to smoke more. They got to damn near smoke an ounce just to get that same high instead of to where it used to be a weekend thing. You may smoke Friday and Saturday, but you know, Sunday through Thursday, whatever, Sunday you go to church, you handle your business the rest of the week, and it was just a weekend thing. Now it's a daily thing. You got people smoking joints back to back to back to back to back. And it's like they lose the effects of it. And it's not so much weed that I'm worried about. It's this opiate, man. It's these opiates, man. You know, opiates, they can do a number of things. James talked about these guys mixing that lean with the, you know, the promethazine with the alcohol. You can lead to your lungs collapsing. You know, my boy from Second to None, he lost his brother like that, man. He just, you know, one day collapsed, man. He couldn't breathe and he didn't make it to the hospital. He died, passed away from it.
Yeah, I mean, let's explore, like, what's the root of that? You know what I'm saying? Like what's the root of it? And then not only the root of it, the influence. You know, the rappers, they influence that. The music sets the trend for the drug of the day. You know what I'm saying? When Chronic came out, everybody was trying to get that good weed. It was about trying to get the Chronic. You know what I mean? And then, you know, I remember during the late 90s, early 2000s, of course, with the explosion of, you know, up north, the Northern Cali, you know, hyphy movement. It was all about them thizzles. It was all about that ecstasy. And then the Molly and all of that. And then, of course, you had Houston, you know, with the screwed up shit, you know, with the lean. They've been doing the lean forever. You know what I'm saying?
With the drink. But I'm going to tell you something, though, Court. It just wasn't in Texas. They popularized it, right? They brought it to mainstream, but I know Philly, Ohio, and I'm pretty sure back in James' era, they was on that lean real heavy too.
No.
On that cough syrup. Yeah, they come up with the cough syrup?
No, that ain't a West Coast thing. I never heard of it out on the West Coast. Just really located in Houston, to be very honest with you.
But to be honest with you, like, I'm going to be real, Court. I had homeboys in Philly. I had homeboys in Pittsburgh, had homeboys in Ohio. It was a thing because you have to remember, and I do think that some of this stuff is kind of just, it's too coincidental, because I remember I had asthma real bad coming up, right? And I remember my mom would take me to the hospital in the wintertime, you know, if I had a cold and was congested, they would give her a big 2 liter of the promethazine. It would be a 2 liter. And I remember she'd give me a teaspoon, and I just go to sleep, it would knock me right out. Yeah. But that whole leader stayed up there. It might still be sitting up in her medicine cabinet. It was just there, you know.
I ain't going to lie, bro. During COVID, I had COVID, you know, about 2 years ago. I had a super bad cough. And the doctor prescribed me that shit, right? I can see the appeal of it because I slept good, my nigga. I ain't going to lie. I slept good as shit, right? But it robbed me of my day. I can't see how niggas function on it because I didn't want to do shit. Like, I was actually like a heroin addict. Like, I was dozing, had that dope fiend nod. I'd be watching TV, and next thing I know, I'm nodding off and shit. Like, I don't see how they function on it, you know? And then I don't think they realize really the effects of it. Like you said, with the kidneys, and even you can always tell when these little niggas is on
and
this shit.
And the gut, because you can't use the bathroom. They get the gut. That was the thing with Gucci, man. And you know, literally, that means you full of shit because you can't move your bowels. You can't move your bowels. If you try to, it's been people, man, I've heard of people, man, the famous people having to go get surgery because they literally couldn't shit and the doctor got to go in there and kind of just bust their ass open to get rid of all the feces and stuff. Yeah. Because, you know, you can die like that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But I mean, let's explore, man. What you think the like I said, the root of this? Why is the culture wanting to get so high? Why are they so, you know, fascinated with the drug culture?
Well, we got two different dynamics going on court. The first one is life imitating art. You know, people see their favorite artists doing stuff. And the biggest major thing about it is undiagnosed depression, self-medication. Yeah. A lot of people are depressed. A lot of people haven't diagnosed depression. A lot of people don't believe in depression. A lot of people don't believe in going to go get therapy and things like that.
I've suffered from depression off and on probably for most of my life, which I believe was hereditary, probably up until, you know, more recent years. But yeah, that shit real. You know what I mean? You just got to do your work and understand what your triggers are. And like you said, talk to somebody. That shit is real.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's depression. We live in a generation, man, to where people look at, you know, expressing your feelings. Some people, especially in our community, they look at expressing your feelings as being soft. So a lot of people self-medicate. They smoke weed. They drink alcohol. You think about the pattern in the hood all day. You know, they go see their man in the morning. They go get them a couple grams. They stop at the dispensary, get them a couple grams. They go to the store, get them a 12-pack. They sit around and drink, smoke. Then they may go up with their homeboys. Their homeboys got a couple pills. Next thing you know, they popping the motherfuckers. And they not just taking these pills. They not just drinking them with a glass of water. No, these motherfuckers is chewing these pills. They courting them because each pill, like let's say you get a 10-milligram Oxycontin, right? That 10-milligram Oxycontin is built to release over 6 hours. It's not built to go in your bloodstream all at once. So when you get to chewing them motherfuckers and snorting them, you taking all of that at once, man. And what it does, it overloads your senses. Almost to where you don't know what the fuck is going. Like you said, you're nodding off and you don't give a fuck about nothing. That's why you have so many instances of motherfuckers just popping a motherfucker just for no reason, pretty much. You know, motherfuckers say something, pow, because you are desensitized to what's going on around you. And so we have a lot of people suffering from the addiction. And I pray healing and help for anybody stuck on heroin. I've had heroin addicts in my family. It's almost impossible. I've seen people get off crack. Yeah. I've seen people get off cocaine. I've seen people stop. I've seen people put weed down easy, right? Mm-hmm. But that heroin, it's a strong monkey on your back, man. It's almost impossible to leave because by the time they start getting sick, man, I had a cousin that was on that shit, right? And they was going through it, man. I'm talking about defecating on themselves, man. Defecating on themselves, the sweats. It's almost like they begging you for that stuff. I had a cousin, man. They literally tied her up when they got her clean. Like literally her daddy got her in the room, tied her up, and left her in there. He would come in there and feed her soup. And he did this for about 6 months. And eventually she started getting normal. But what he was doing, he would give her little doses of shit, right? Like little doses of like what was that shit? He would give her like Tylenol 3s, like lower dose medicines, because she, you know, you could die on that shit. You could die on that shit. So he would cut like a Tylenol 3 up in fours and feed her little pieces of it and shit like that. So she would get the little thing, you know, so she could relax a little bit. But then eventually he just like cut her off cold turkey and she got clean, man. But it took her, once he got her like that, then he put her in a rehab. Because he had did the rehab shit before, and he was like, fuck this shit. I'm not going to go spend another $15,000 for your ass to come out and be cool. And then they want to replace that shit with some other medicine because now it's a little bit better because they have medicine. Like my cousin back then, she's on a medicine now. She takes a pill, I think, once a day. She takes a pill once a day, and she's been clean, works a job. You wouldn't know her. I saw her when I was back at the crib, and it was kind of like, hey there, you finally back to us. I'm so proud of you. She's able to hold a job now. She's probably going to have to take that medicine for the rest of her life, but dog, it's better than the alternative. But it makes me think sometimes, it's like, okay, you replace one drug with another. Somebody's still getting paid. How does this shit make it to the streets, bro? Because we ain't got no, you know, they got pill presses in the crib and stuff like that. But I don't think no chemist in the hood like that is able to figure out the pharmacology of an opiate. You feel what I'm saying? The manufactured pills. That shit is coming from somewhere, dog, and it's coming from the inside. And I'm going to tell you another thing, too, bro. That fentanyl is really taking motherfuckers out. I lost one of my little, lost one of my cousins, lost his son. You know, rest in peace, little DJ. But he wasn't on shit, dog. He had just got him a job, dog. He had just got a job with the city. You know how it is, Court. We both Midwest boys. You get a job with the city. You're making that $40, $50 an hour. You can rent a four-bedroom house for $800 a month, and that motherfucker, you're doing good, you know? Right. So his back was hurting real bad. He went over one of his homeboys' house and said, hey, my back is killing me. Oh, dog got something for that. He took that dog, laid home with his little baby on his chest, dog, and just never woke up because it was fentanyl. I just got out of knee surgery, dog. And when I was in knee surgery, it was funny because you wake up, all you remember, you don't remember nothing. You just remember just kind of just passing out, right? And you wake up and your knee in the first worst pain in the world, and they got this ice thing on you, your knee is dropped. You're like, oh shit, what the fuck is going on? Right. So I hear the nurse, 1 cc, half cc of fentanyl, you know, and she shit that thing. Once she hit that thing, dog, whatever it was she injected into that thing, I swear I felt the warmness come over my body almost instantly. Knee wasn't hurt. And she told me, she said, yeah, you feeling good now. But tomorrow, sometime tomorrow, that knee pain heals, go come back. That's why they tell you to go get your pain medication and shit before you even go home, so that shit is there. And sure as shit stink, I was in the middle of doing my therapy. Look, Chinese lady bending my leg. All of a sudden, that pain came back. And I was like, oh, shit, you bending it too hard. You've been in the 2 hours. She said, did you take your pain medicine? No. They kept asking me, Mr. Steele, why are you not taking the pain medicine? And I'm looking at these white folks like, why are you not taking your main pain medicine? I'm like, you're not turning me into a junkie in this motherfucker. If I don't have to take them, I take them. But then what I realized was, in order for me to do my therapy right, I had to take them and subscribe. And that's what I did. I took them and subscribed. I took it nothing. Like, I don't have no pain now. I don't fuck with them motherfuckers. Them motherfuckers is in the toilet because I'm a responsible parent. Me knowing I got teenagers in the house, I'm not one of them parents. Like, my, thank God my kids don't do no dope, but teenagers like to experiment and they're curious. They may go in that medical cabinet and see, shit, Pop's got some Oxycontin. I'm going to try one of these motherfuckers. It might be the one shit to send them over the edge, dog. I ain't going out like that. But I think we got a lot of mental illness in our community, bro. We have a whole lot of mental illness in our community. And it's to the point, bro, to where we don't seek treatment because we want to keep getting high. Usually when people getting clean, it's because they want to. I had a brother that did crack. He'd tell you, I had a brother that did crack for 5 years straight. And he told me, he said, man, I smoked $3,500 worth of shit every day. And he made his way to go get that money. He figured out one day, he tried to do everything. My mom would try to let him in the house, man. You know, she'd come back home, TV gone, rings gone, all kind of shit. And he'd be sitting up in that motherfucker like, and come back in after them. Oh, what's going on, mama? Billy, where's my stuff at? Like, where's all my stuff? Oh, I don't know. Somebody must have broken the crib. And eventually, you know, anytime a mother gets tired of you and kicks her son out the crib, it got to be serious, dog.
Yeah. Gotta that's be a lot, though. Shit, $3,500 worth. Shit, that's like a quarter brick almost. You know, that's like a 4.5.
Goddamn drugs.
That's like a 4-way. That's like 4.5.
Bro,
but yeah, but I think to your point, man. Like when you think about, you know, a lot of this shit is systemic too. You know, it's like they give us the tools to destroy ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, it's so many layers to it. You know, we already dealing with depression. We already dealing with, you know, mental illness, we dealing with health issues, we dealing with, you know, hopelessness. That adds to it too, because, you know, there's so many struggles in life. Think about it, it's still liquor stores. Like, you go to the hood, you know, like, I live in the valley, you know what I'm saying? So when I'm in Calabasas, I don't see liquor stores like that. Like, I literally gotta go look for one, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you go to LA, man, them motherfuckers is all over. It's like you can find anything you want, but it's hard to, like James said, you know, but you can't get health insurance. You know, you can't find, you know, a mentor. You can't get into college. You can get into jail easier than you can get into college. You know what I mean? Like there's not useful resources around. You know what I mean? But you can get anything you want, any drug you want, fentanyl, oxy, thizzles, wet, whatever you want, it's out there for you to indulge in. So a lot of that shit is systemic, bro.
A lot of shit start off recreational. A lot of people get high just because they're hanging out. You know, I never did marijuana. I never seen a reason to do that. When the Primos came out, everybody, 20, 30 homies passing joints. You know what I'm saying? Doing Primos. Half of the motherfuckers that was hanging around only did it because the homies was doing it. Everybody was not junkies, but you became a junkie after when you the only motherfucker still doing crack cocaine. You a junkie. You know what I'm saying? Heroin, dog food was totally different because it fed and attacked you from the inside.
Right, right.
Not no mind shit.
Yeah, cocaine, your body needs that shit. Yeah, your body needs.
Mm-hmm. Cocaine was totally different. Motherfuckers was robbing and stealing and doing all other kind of shit for different drugs. But the kids of the day didn't have to get down like in my days. You know what I'm saying? They're doing shit just because the next person is doing it. Like you said, they listening to Lil Wayne rapping about lean or what you call them, talking about Percocets. So the mind tell them, man, I'm going to go try that shit out. So we'll start off just a taste tester. When they start liking it, everybody in the hood wants to hang out and be feeling good, especially when they go to parties, hit the nightclubs. Everybody already ready. They pop their thistles. They get in that motherfucker. What they doing? They drinking their ass off. It intensify they high. So they start getting used to it. It becomes a pattern. This is how I got to do it. So, you know, if I walked around the hood and say everybody that's doing drug got a mental problem, I'd be crazy in a motherfucker. No, we just doing shit just because everybody else is doing it. Now I'm doing it because it make me feel good. Yeah, it's some people in the hood that's going through a whole bunch of shit. Mm. And doing drugs is a way of forgetting. You know what I'm saying? Like alcohol. Alcohol is the worstest motherfucking drug out there, period, because when I put myself in situations and did certain things, I got drunk. So I didn't have to think about it. But guess what? When you wake up that next day, you're going to wake up with a hangover, but you still going to remember the shit you did and how fucked up you was. You know what I'm saying? So alcohol was one of the worstest motherfucking things out there. But these kids, they doing it all. These niggas out here today don't give a fuck. So it's just a word of mouth. Let's try this, and everybody is experimenting with whatever is new today.
Yeah, that's crazy because, you know, I never subscribed to that. And I know exactly what you mean, James, because, you know, growing up, you know, all my friends drank, smoked weed. You know, that was what it was back then. In KC, you know, wet, you know, that was the wet daddy, the butt naked. That was a thing in the 90s. But, you know, I think probably because I grew up in a household with functioning alcoholics, you know, and I kind of grew up around drugs. Like, you know, I grew up in the 80s. So, you know, I remember finding, you know, when my mother and her friends and my stepfather would be partying, you know what I'm saying, on the weekend. I remember finding them trays up under the couch with the residue. You know what I'm saying? I used to be drawn in the residue. I didn't know what it was. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so, but, you know, I remember my people being inebriated. And I don't know. That shit just turned me off, bro. Like, I never wanted to be around it. I never did it. My friends did it. But, you know, I never followed. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it could be just because I seen it in my household, you know. But you're right, though. A lot of people fall victim to just being followers and just trying to, you know, fit in. You know what I mean? And they fuck around and try something, and it takes them years to untry it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And the thing is, Court, I went through my period, man, because being a product of Midwest, some stuff was just done out of boredom. Mm-hmm. Just out of sheer boredom. You know, the thing is, because, you know, being in the Midwest and them small towns, you don't already vote on everything that's walking around there already. Yeah. And you don't already did everything. And then the thing is, somebody got a kickback. They got liquor. They got beer over there. You wind up getting drunk. I went through a period, man. I went through one summer, dog, where I blacked out twice. And that's when I realized I didn't. That's when I kind of slowed down. But I kept going kind of into my early 20s. And then I remember my little boy came up to me one day and said, I want to drink beer too. And I just looked at the way he looked at me. I said, damn, do my son see me as a drunk motherfucker walking around here? And my wife had kind of told me to make a choice. It's either go be that or this. And I just left the shit alone. I just stopped. I didn't go through no withdrawals or nothing. I just left it alone. That was after a good six, 7 years.
It was still early for you. Like me. Before school, fuck school, we stopped at the stove and got a quart of Old English. And we drunk beer all the way to school. coming from school. When the sun going down, we switched from liquor to Bumpy Face. We drinking vodka, gin. We drinking. That was my way of coping with everything that was going on today. So when nighttime hit, now I'm already ready. Mm-hmm. Half of my motherfucking shenanigans was because I was already drunk, feeling good, and ready to go. Fuck it. You see what I'm saying? But I was able to cope with what was going on around me for that day. I just didn't do the weed. Everybody else was drinking with me from morning to night on beer to hard liquor. They smoked weed. I didn't. And then, say, the early part of the 80s, that Primo, we had the Vermont drive-in. Yeah. 10 cars. And everybody is going back and forth to each car smoking Primos and drinking. But when we had that motherfucking fight in there, everybody looked like they was paranoid, didn't know what the fuck to do. And I seen the best of the best lost. Even myself lost. Like, what the fuck am I doing? Didn't know what to do. So,
man, that Primo shit smells so terrible, man. My aunt, you know, my first introduction to Primo in the 80s, you know, my aunt used to smoke weed. I used to like the smell of weed when I was a kid. You know, I always loved the smell of it. And my aunt would be smoking, and I used to be like, damn, her weed smell funny. Like, that shit was strong as shit. I used to be like, why her shit smell like that? And, you know, it was until, you know, I got a little bit older where it was like, damn, auntie was on the mold.
And she was on the pose.
She was on that shit.
But see, even with that, when before she started doing most, like my uncles, they were doing the blow. They were sniffing the shit.
Yeah.
And once that didn't fuck with them no more, they went to the next thing. Now they basing. Now they, you know, now they doing different shit. It just, it intensified. Once you get it in your system and you just want more and you want a better effect. You want to be fucked up. So that's what they doing, man.
But let me ask y'all something.
What I keep going through is the why, man. I just keep going. But like, James, me knowing your story, I totally understand, you know, again, you know, why you would be, you know, indulging, having to, you know, endure and go through all the shit you was dealing with. You know what I'm saying? But then, you know, what for people that's dealing with that, like, what's the alternative? What are the alternatives? You know, I know you didn't really have them in that day, James, or at least you didn't know that you had them. But nowadays, with the internet and so much information at our disposal, at our fingertips, like what is the alternative?
Even though I did a lot of alcohol, I didn't choose to do marijuana, smoke weed like they did on the daily. You know, a lot of cats that hung with us didn't do either one.
Mm-hmm.
But in due time, they're going to be like, everybody fucked up looking like they're having a good time. Now they want to try it. It's just, you know, you hang with people. Now they want to do the shit that they seeing. And that's all they did, man. If you stick to your guns, I ain't doing drugs like Lee Ford, one of the homies. He was one of the biggest cats in the neighborhood, never went to prison. Damn, why is this nigga so swole and they never been to prison? Because he was a healthy motherfucker. He didn't do alcohol. He didn't do weed. He didn't put that shit in his body.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
it's the choices that we made at that time doing it. Just like the cats of the day. It's the choices that they're making, the people that they're hanging around. Bad influence. So we don't have to.
Yeah.
But you see everybody else doing something, so it's like, fuck it. And everybody is trying to cope and deal with something in their life. The next person might be telling them, man, this is what I do. Because I told the motherfucking nigga.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I get drunk, I don't give a fuck who I shoot. I'm cool.
Let me say something real quick. To me, a lot of this stuff is systemic because if you go back, you can go back to the 1930s in the black community. It seems like every decade we get attacked with a new drug. Mm-hmm. In the 60s, it was heroin. I remember, you know, even from the 60s to the 70s, it was heroin. I would go into the back. I remember living in this apartment building when I was 8 years old, right? And I would go to the back. And it would be needles all over the place. And I remember I was outside with my shoes off playing. And I remember my mama snatched me up and beat my ass. I told you don't walk out this house without no shoes on. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand. I was a little kid on why she was so mad, but she understood. I step on one of them needles, I could fuck around an overdose. You know, mm-hmm. This was the 70s. You know, who knows? I believe AIDS was around even back then, but they didn't know what it was, you know. But anything could have happened, right? And so we went from heroin, we went to crack. Mm-hmm. Then they came back with the with the pills, because if you remember in the 80s, they went through a rash. You know, this opiate epidemic is nothing new, because at one time they had hospitals, pain management, so to speak, hospitals that opened up and they was always in the hood, to where pretty much you go in that motherfucker, they gonna write you a prescription for whatever you want to get.
I mean, they was taking Quaaludes and shit back then, you know what
I mean? Yeah, you know. And here we go again. Then you get the lean, and we've lost so many. Then it's just really pervasive in the music. Like, I'm a 3-6 Mafia fan.
Yeah,
they hold no qualms of telling you we snort, We snorting, yeah. We sniffing, we drinking, we pouring up in this motherfucker.
Them and UGK were two of the first, you know, acts that made it known that about snorting, you know.
Mm-hmm. They snorting cocaine, because I'm going to tell you this. My pops told me, you know, my pops is a 60s nigga. When they wore the suits and they had the pinky rings with the little, they got a gram in their pinky ring and shit. And they, you know what I mean, doing that. My pops said he did that, never once got addicted. He said, man, I did that shit, I party with the powder. He said, I don't know what they put in that shit. No, I ain't fucking with it. But that's just what they did. That was like some baller shit. When you know, when you had the powder, that was some baller shit. Nigga have his ring on and he got him a gram up in that motherfucker. Yeah. And he just floating and doing his thing.
That was the same way when cocaine came out. When cocaine came out, everybody was functional workers. Everybody can do a line or two and go to work and be productive. Then when they come with this other shit and now they dope fiends and everybody's stretching. You had every hood had that guy to get the new shit. And he always had a smoker, somebody that smoked weed, to test that shit. And they went off of word of mouth from that one motherfucker that tested and was bent over in the corner somewhere. Now everybody wants that drug because you get fucked up. That's what they're looking for when they get high. They're gonna spend their money so they can get fucked up.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, James.
Go ahead. I'm good.
No, I was just gonna say and think about how cold it is today, bro. Nowadays with this fentanyl shit. Whoever got the shit that mother the hot pack the niggas is dying from, they want that shit. That's some cold shit. Whoever got the hot pack that's catching bodies, that's the shit that they want. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And the fentanyl is just such a new, you know, pariah. It's such a new threat because it's so the instability of it. You know what I mean? The shit be dosed all over the place. Yeah. Like just a little grain because the shit be dosed so fucked up, you know, and even these pills. With these Roxy's and these fake ass Oxy's and all of that shit, they should be having fentanyl and shit all in it. And you know, that's how motherfuckers be ODing. Like, but then, like you said with culture though, because think about it, Kodak Black, you know, what'd he say? I knew the perk was fake, but I ate it anyway. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you don't know what the fuck in that bitch be. Rat poison, man.
You don't know what it is. And you know what? I'm gonna tell you something. I was talking to one of my homeboys the other day, and he was talking about his 19-year-old like to smoke weed and shit like that, right? He was like, I'm going to whoop his ass. I said, bro, I'm going to tell you something. You're almost better off because that nigga is going to smoke weed if he want 20 way or not. You're almost better off going to go get the dispensary and just get his shit for him and say, nigga, don't do that shit in his house. Here you go. Because I'm going to tell you, they go try it anyway, bro. And we can sit up here as parents. We can sit up here as parents and look at our kids through rose-colored lenses. Just like we went out there and tried shit, they go to water and experiment. I want my kids to know what the fuck time it is. Don't be smoking no shit behind nobody. Don't be passing no joints with no motherfucker. Because a motherfucker will give you some shit that'll have you walking around this motherfucker. You'll be stuck in the 12th dimension and won't know what the fuck going on.
I know people that smoke shit that never came back from it. Mine ain't never been the right sense, you know. And I think that's important too, like the point that you're making, man. We have to be 100 with our kids, you know. Same thing with my kids, you know. My kids, especially my oldest daughter, you know, I had my first child when I was 16. And, you know, I laced her. I raised her like almost like an oldest son, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you know, I told her about drugs and weed. I mean, truth be told, you know, weed was my hustle back then. So I even, you know, to an extent, exposed her to that side of it, of getting money. You know, I mean, you know, there's no handbook for parenting. You know what I mean? This is what happens.
Exactly. Kids.
But you know, and I always told her, man, let the fiends have a habit. You know, now fast forward, you know, my daughter, 30 years old, she's a grown woman. I respect her. She smokes weed. That's her choice, you know? And I don't judge her about it. You know what I'm saying? I, you know, she can't smoke in our house. When she's over, she asks her to step out, smoke outside, be respectful. But you know, I think that, you know, and, you know, back in the day, they used to say weed was a gateway drug. I don't know that to be true, but I believe for some people it can be with addictive personalities and people like James said, that could be dealing with, you know, some type of self-medication situation and they want to get higher. You know, weed was the beginning. How can I get higher? How can I get higher? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but like I keep saying, you know, what is the what is the alternative? You know, with kids that are listening, like what could be the, you know, instead of trying to self-medicate and get high and try to run away from your problems, like what do they do? You know, do they get help? What are they running from? Do they go talk to somebody? Do you know what advice will we give them? You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I think you have to be very open and honest with your children. Again, I know plenty of parents that put the rose-colored lens on. And I'm going to tell you the way society is. Everybody will know what your kid is doing but you. You'll be sitting up there, be the only dumbass sitting in la-la land and not knowing what's going on. You have to give your kids the real about stuff and tell them, hey, look, if you try this, you may die. Because my biggest thing, if I was always scared to death, because when I was younger, I was allowed the opportunity to experiment. The big thing in Ohio was what all the white homies would do. They would be on that black tar heroin. Mm-hmm. You know, they would have that black tar heroin. It was cheap. Like everybody had that shit and they would be in there smoking that shit. They tried to get me to try that shit one day, but I remember talking to my pops about that. Anything that had an H in it, I wasn't fucking with it.
Well,
I was like, I'm cool on that. I don't want none of that shit because I see how this nigga over here in the corner doing this, he nodding off and shit. I didn't want to fuck with it. So my thing was this. I actually tried weed when I was younger and didn't fuck with it. It wasn't for me. My pop smoked weed back then and still is a regular weed smoker. And that motherfucker was an accountant. Mm-hmm. One of the sharpest dudes I know. I'd never known him to do no other shit. He told me, he said, yeah, in the 60s I did this and that, but my pops ain't never been no fiend ass nigga, but he got his little cigar box in the crib with his little weed, and he rolled him up a joint. He's sitting out, smoked that motherfucker with his woman, and watch TV and going about his business, right? And bop on upstairs, you know? So I think the biggest thing, Court, we have to do is realize, man, that we are under attack, and the only way we go continue stand under attack if we don't start keeping it real with ourselves and start saying, man, look, we got to start making different choices. We got to start looking at alternatives. We have to start expressing our feelings because black men have a tendency to compartmentalize shit. We have shit in our mind and we just keep it in there. And anything, it's like anything else. If we fill a water balloon up too full of water, what's going to happen? It's going to eventually explode. That's what happens. That's when people have nervous breakdowns. That's when you see the little rampages that you see. That's why you see so much road rage now. Them people actually don't got a problem with each other, but motherfucker, the stress level is so high. Yeah. It's just that person in that car that might have cut you off, that may not be thinking about you. He late for work, so he's trying to get to work. He go around you and cut you off. You mad. Now you chasing this motherfucker down up the road and you whooping his ass when he get out the car. You might get shot and lose your life, all because you didn't have nobody to talk to. You didn't want to express your feelings. You know what I mean? Because you think about it, life can be stressful in a motherfucker. You got people, especially in where we at right now. Absolutely. You got people who financially have not recovered since COVID. Because I'm going to tell you one thing bad that came about COVID and all that stimulus money. You had some people that was making more money than they ever made. You know, you had a guy that worked at McDonald's. He getting unemployment now. Now he getting $800, $1,000 a week. Mm-hmm. To him, that's the world. Now, he don't want to go back to that job at McDonald's, or that job at McDonald's ain't there for him no more. And he's depressed. When you can't take care of your family or provide a livelihood, I remember the darkest period I had, man. And I suffered from depression. I've been very open about it. I've suffered from depression before. Me too. The darkest period I've ever had, I was working for a publishing company. I was making $250,000 a year. I was doing my thing. I had a black card, whatever I wanted to go get. If I went and bought a $10,000 suit, they wouldn't question me. We was making a lot of money back then. I was getting a lot of money from other little stuff. You know, I'm managing glasses is cracking at that time. So I'm getting money from everywhere. I'm getting money in nut lumps. You know what I mean? I got good money. I remember when I lost that job, I lost my identity almost. And I said after that, it was hard for me to go back because I was making money even before that, right? Mm-hmm. It was hard for me to go back to the idea of what am I going to do now? Because when you're in the industry, you know this, Court, that's the best time to get a job. I had people from Turtle Music offer me jobs. I had people from Universal Music offer me jobs. I wouldn't leave because they couldn't match what the one company was giving me, right? Mm-hmm. So once I lost that job and I kind of was being arrogant, my hubris, I can do that now through counseling years later and say that was my fault because you know what? I remember when they closed the office down, the lady told me, she said, well, you can continue working from the house. But I was so arrogant, like, fuck that. You know, they go cut my pay in half and I'm going to work at the house. I ain't going, I got something for their ass. I quit. Mm-hmm. Calling them motherfuckers from them. Everybody, oh, so what you doing in Minder now? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm no longer with them. Oh, let me get back with you. And yeah. I learned how the industry worked because those people didn't actually want me. They wanted me to go in there and pill for some of the people I brought over there. You got to remember, I'd had my first platinum record with the Ice Cream Paint Job shit, right? Mm-hmm. That was, I had something to do with that record. I signed that producer. I found him. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, helped put that whole thing together. Mm-hmm. We had some other stuff going on. We had an opportunity at that time to sign Kendrick Lamar. They passed on it. Mm-hmm. We could have actually signed the whole TDE roster. They passed on it. You know, and I thought about all that stuff. And, man, I was just kind of stuck, man. Like, I went through a period of where I was just almost the only way I could describe it is immobility, to where I just couldn't move. I was just, like, I'm stuck. Every day, I woke up at 12 o'clock, mm-hmm. kind of walked around this motherfucker in the days, man. You know, would go yeah. sometimes a day or two without washing my ass, dog. And I was just gained a bunch of fucking weight. The little bit of money I did have, because when you got it back then, I wasn't saving shit, dog. And I was thinking, you know, when I quit the job, well, I was straight, I got this, man. That money went so fucking fast because you still have those same bills and you still have the same lifestyle, you know.
Yeah.
And when you wake up and look outside and see cars getting towed out the driveway and shit, it came to the point, dog, I didn't even give a fuck. I sat up there and watched them tow my Escalade away, and I was just so fucking just stuck, man. And
but you didn't go to drugs. You didn't resort.
Oh, no. No, I didn't. I'm going to tell you, that's when my wife leaned in on me and she started telling me, hey, let's go to church.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to go to church. Once I start going back to my roots, dog, hearing the word of God, I realized that I turned into a man that I didn't want to be. I wasn't no good to my family. I went back in the regular world for a minute, Court. I went and got me a job. You know, I realized, I said, you know what, I got an education. I'm going to go get me a job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I went and got me a sales job, and I went back in the regular world for a little bit, man. I started coaching my son's football team. And so really, where most people lean into drugs, I leaned into God and family.
Yeah.
I leaned into God and family. And my wife, she really helped me through that period, dog. She really helped me because it was a very dark period for me. Anything could happen, dog. I thought of killing myself because I was identifying, you know, I went from being this provider to where mm-hmm. whenever she needed some dog, like my wife, you know, when my daughter was born, she took 2 years off of work. You know, it was like, don't worry about that. You got to think about a Court. At that time, when I had my situation with Minder Music, they assigned me as a writer. And I had a couple of deals. I had a deal with a company called Pickwick over in England, and they were paying me $9 a record. Mm-hmm. Not $9, but £9 a record. At that time, the pound was like 2 to 1. So I was wind up getting $17 a record. So I wasn't doing them selling 5,000-6,000 pieces, but I was releasing albums every 3 months. I was distributing all that, you know, Big A. During that time, I was distributing all the dog pound shit over there. So I just had an abundance of money because I got these people paying me $250,000 a year. I'm making about 30, 40 racks a month from just selling records, dog, overseas at the time. And then what happened was that shit slowed up. Because you remember when Drama got busted?
Yeah.
When Drama got cracked, that's when all that shit, even though my shit was legitimate, anything that
about,
you didn't...
You talking about Drama from Atlanta?
Yeah, when he got busted with all that stuff, I was doing the same stuff he was doing, but I was doing it with legal stuff, but they were records that wasn't necessarily cleared from the label. Like Daz, you know, he had shit. We were distributing Snoop's mixtapes. And, you know, you figure like this, Big A, I'm gonna shoot you $8 a CD. He cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm pocketing more money than they use on the CDs because it's just a hustle. I ain't robbing nobody, but it's a hustle. Dog, I used to walk around, dog, and then I would do tours over in Japan and stuff, bro. I would come back home with just rows of money, dog. Like, I remember one time he got so bad, man. You remember when niggas used to wear them Jabot jeans? I remember one time I had like $3,500 in one of my pockets and my wife washed them and the money got kind of fucked up. I wasn't like, shit, I gave that shit to my kids, dog.
Yeah.
It was just like that, dog. I didn't have no respect for what was going on. And when you lose that, dog, and I'm going to tell you, God got a way, man. And when your ego get out of control, God has a way of stripping you down to your bare minimum, dog. Okay, you don't want to listen. I'm about to strip your ass down and make you back, you know, build you back up again. Absolutely. I learned a lesson in humility, dog. And it really was a very humbling and life-changing experience, because that's why I talk to people. When I tell people, oh man, if somebody kill themselves, they're weak. I say, no, they're not weak, bro. I say, you don't never know what no man going through. Because when you're depressed, you are in a black hole, literally. You feel no happiness, bro. You don't want to do nothing.
And you know, suicide, that happens when your coping mechanisms have failed. You know what I'm saying? When you lose hope. You know, and I think like sometimes what people have to understand is when you can identify a purpose in your life, when you identify a purpose, then you tend to make, you know, different choices. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, that depression shit, like you said, it's a dark hole. And, you know, after my mom passed away, I went into a deep depression. And like you said, I used to, you know, everybody else in the house would get up. My kids would go to school. My wife would go to work. I would just lay in the room, sometime with the TV not on, you know what I mean? And I can remember when everybody would come home, I would get up and act like I've been doing some shit. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And, you know, my money was straight at the time, so I didn't necessarily have to be doing anything. But, you know, man, that was a really bad time. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, again, in this world, because, you know, this world is a motherfucker. It will beat you down and it will hold you down and keep you down. This world will literally stick its long arm to the elbow up your ass and wave you around like a puppet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure.
And so what I found is you have to be mentally strong, spiritually strong, emotionally strong, physically strong in this world. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people, like I say, you have to do your work. I had to learn to do my work. Like, you deal with anxiety. You know, anxiety is worried about shit that ain't even happened. You're worried about the future. You know, depression, a lot of times you're stuck in the past. You're worried about shit you can't even change.
Oh, yeah, worried about shit you can't control.
That ain't even exist anymore. You know what I mean? So I think when you can center yourself and find and be present, and then, you know, almost like the AA say, what the saying that they say, you know, what is it? You know, accept the things you cannot change.
Change the things I can.
That's the truth. You know, you have to be present. And I think, like I say, when you feel like you have something to live for and you have a purpose, that's why I tell people, man, be a purpose chaser, not a paper chaser. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, chasing money, that don't give you nothing. You know, money
is not going to bring you happiness.
But when you identify a purpose, when you really feel like, damn, I'm here for something, and then you're giving. Sometimes giving is just affecting other people, you know, because people remember how you made them feel. People don't remember the car you had, the jewelry you had, all that bullshit, but people remember how you made them feel. And that's your legacy. So, and then sometimes just goddamn meditate. I meditate every day and I take inventory on my life, right? I think about, you know, the things that I need, the things that I don't, situations and different things like that, to try to, so, you know, unfuck my mind and keep it as clear as possible. So I think that, you know, and I'm saying all this to say, these are tools and these are ways that people can train their minds where they don't have to defer to drugs. You know what I'm saying? Just deal with your shit, sift through your shit. And I know for some, you know, it may be easier said than done. You know, everybody's, you know, mental fortitude and emotional intelligence isn't developed like that, but with practice, it can be, because see, the language that I'm given now is not something that I knew 20, 25 years ago. This is over time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Hopefully I could share it with somebody that's going through it now and they could hear it and it could inspire them to say, oh shit, I'm not alone. Because depression will make you feel like you by yourself, like God is picking on you. Like mm-hmm. God don't like me. He just fucking over me and everybody else, you know, but you know, people, you know, everybody's fighting a battle that, you know, are battles that nobody knows about. You know what I'm saying?
You know what, Court? One thing mm-hmm. I found out, man, with dealing with my therapist, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, I went and got me therapist, still go to therapy twice a month now. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's certain things that, man, we need to have conversations sometimes with people that you may not necessarily, I could talk to my wife about anything, but some stuff, I can't talk to my wife about everything. There's some stuff as a man that I go through that she would have no clue.
For sure.
About what it is, you know.
We ain't supposed to let them know. We got to shoulder that shit. As unhealthy as it is, that's just mm-hmm. what it is. You know what I'm saying? That's mm-hmm. us as protectors. Sometimes we got to protect them. You know, we may not know. It's been times where fuck, I don't know how I'm gonna do certain shit. I don't, you know, shit may be a little worse than what my old lady may know, but I showed her that, you know what I'm saying? Because as a man, as a protector, that's what I do for my kids. I never wanted my kids or my old lady to be fretting about nothing.
You and know? Then me, I've always been kind of a leader, right? So it's like with me, you know, even with me running this network, I have multiple families that depend on me, right? So I remember, man, I would like really, I don't think people had no idea how many months I would forfeit getting paid to make sure that they had some money. Yeah. And it's just not one person. You're talking about four or five different people. And my therapist told me one day, he said, you know, to thine own self be true. You can't be a blessing to nobody if you fucked up. You got to make sure you straight or you're not going to be able to help nobody. And right. Then one thing he told me too is take responsibility for situations that you create. Because yeah. I remember at one time it led to me having a problem. I wanted to put everybody on at one time. Anybody that came, I wanted to put them on. But then I realized everybody is not worthy.
Everybody can't go. My mama used to tell me that.
Everybody can't go. Mm-hmm. Everybody can't go. And it's been people that I love that I've had to X out my life just because it was unhealthy for me to be around them. And it's just like I had to take care of me. I had to take care. You know, if this person is not bringing nothing genuine and no type of value, what is he around for? If he's, you know, giving you bad information and making you feel even worse, why even have them around?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know the phrase, the adage that misery loves company is very true. You have people going through their stuff and they would drag you down their stuff. It's like, dog, one thing my Uncle Doug told me, and I thought it was the coldest shit in the world. He told me, I asked him one day, man, where your homeboy Lenny was up with him? He said, man, I had to stop fucking with him. I said, why? Because he said, that motherfucker always got some shit going on. Mm-hmm. He said it just like that. He said, every time I leave that motherfucker's house, I'm depressed. I stopped fucking with him because he was an unlucky motherfucker. And I learned that that's real game. You have to, not that you get insensitive with people, but sometimes you don't need to hear everybody else's shit.
I mean, energies are contagious. Energies are contagious. And sometimes you have to moderate that shit. Like, you could care for someone, you know, but I always say you don't have to set yourself on fire to keep other people warm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to know, you know, man, energy is that's everything. What we put out, what we receive, and we have to control that. Because, yeah, that shit can be parasitic, especially when it's not reciprocated. You know what I mean?
Energy is a motherfucker. It's like, you know what I've noticed? Whenever something good would happen, you get certain people that won't never call you. You don't hear from some good. But the moment they think they found somewhere they got a barrel over you, oh, man, you saw what such and such said about you. Yeah. You saw what such and such. They send you messages of videos and shit. It's like, I have to tell motherfuckers, stop sending me shit, man. I got a computer at this motherfucker. I don't need to see that shit. I don't care about what they said. Right. I don't entertain myself with that stuff. Let them do what they go do.
Yeah.
Let them do what they go do. And another thing I learned in therapy too, Court, is that you have to take time out for yourself. Sometimes I've learned, man, my therapist told me one day, he said, I want you to cut your phone off. You know, I don't mean just cut your phone off for a thing. I want you to just cut this motherfucker off outside. You know, because my mama got my wife's number. She's not to get me. He said, cut your phone off for a week. Mm-hmm. I've learned the worst thing in our lives right now is this motherfucker right here.
Yeah, for sure.
Because for the first time in history, you remember when we just had home phones, James?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Motherfucker call your house. They catch you when they catch you, right?
Catch you when they catch you.
But, you know, when you land up with your wife somewhere, your kids in Disneyland, that motherfucker ring, the first thing you want to do is, what's happening? Mm-hmm. Now you wind up spending the time that you can have with your family. And I'm going to tell you something. Time is the most precious commodity on this planet because when we lose time, Court, we are never going to get that time back. You can't get it back. It's not like you got time banked up somewhere. Well, you know what? I'm going to go take me a couple of months out. Or I'm going to do this and do that. No, you're not going to get that time back. So you have to value your time, especially I hear so many older people, when they lose their spouse, the first thing they say is, I wish I would have spent more time.
Yeah, we all say that when we lose loved ones. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it's almost like that emotion of you know, guilt or regret is stronger than gratitude. You know what I'm saying? You know, but, you know, hey, like I say, man, life is hard as shit, bro. You know, it's but what I've learned, too, is, you know what? Life life is hard, but sometimes humans complicated. To be very honest with you, you have to exercise a level of fuck it in life. You have to
understand, yeah, for sure.
You got to understand that control is an illusion. The best thing that we can do is try to influence the outcome that we want. But at the end of the day, it's going to be what it's going to be. So, you know, all we can fucking do is do our best, you know, be the best people that we can be. You know, I was having a conversation with someone the other day. I tend to kind of have these conversations with millennials, and, you know, millennials are built a lot different, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and I was talking to him about grace and mercy and forgiveness. You know, we carry so much unnecessary baggage in life. That's what contributes to depression and anxiety and drug use, because we got all this unnecessary fucking baggage. You know, you got to learn how to cut that shit off. Sometimes we our own worst enemy, because we in our heads with a bunch of shit. You know what I mean? You know, past shit, we all got past shit, you know, but at the end of the day, that shit don't exist no more. You know what I'm saying? We're carrying it around. So I think, you know, just going to the self work, you know, just doing the work, you know, and one thing about me, a quality that I have, is I can be 100% honest with myself, no matter how uncomfortable the situation is. Many people lie to themselves. You know, when you start trying, it's one thing to try to slick somebody else, but when you try to start slicking yourself, you fucked up, you know.
Yeah, you fucking yourself up, because you can't lie to yourself.
Yeah, so, you know, I always encourage people, man, just do the work, because everybody's self-work is different. You know what I mean? Like, you know, with me, I knew I had a, you know, even though I'm cool and I'm calm and I'm reserved, I have a very vengeful spirit. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you do something to me, it's like I'm gonna get you. You know what I'm saying? If it's 10 years from now, like, I'm not gonna forget. And I knew that wasn't healthy. I was like, okay, I'm putting out bad energy even with that. You know what I'm saying? That's why I say grace and mercy. Forgiveness is usually for you. It's for you always, not even for the other motherfucker, you know? So when you carrying those gripes and those, that's heavy baggage, and all that shit weighs you down, and it alters your perspective, because, you know, perspective is the biggest thing in this motherfucker. It's all about how you see shit. It's your disposition. You know what I'm saying? And it tends to cater to your attitude as well. And your attitude is going to reflect the shit that you receive, you know? So, yeah, I think it's just doing the self-work, bro. You know, just doing that self-work.
You know, one thing I want to say, Corp, is this right here. We don't have time machines. And that's one thing, you know, I learned from my therapist. He said, you know, because I had all this stuff that I didn't realize was bothering me that was in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, man, check this out. We don't have time machines. Why are you worried about that shit? It's not like you can go back and correct it, because even if you did, even if we could, you may go back and fuck up some shit, and you come back in your life, you got another problem now that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
One thing about it, bro, we are going to always have issues. We are always going to have complications. And I don't care if you got $20 million sitting in the bank.
That don't matter. Nobody's immune to the bullshit of life. Nobody's
it don't matter.
That don't matter.
You hear about people all the time worth $30, $40 million putting a pistol in their mouth and just ending it all, because they cannot deal with it all. All the money they have is not going to cure the ails that they got going in their life. But this is one thing I want to say, man. If you got a problem with drugs, go get some help. Drugs ain't nothing but a band-aid. They not going to fix nothing. Mm-hmm. They don't fix a damn thing. All they gonna do is make it worse.
Find a spiritual, you know, I'm not saying you have to be a Christian or a Muslim, but whatever that moves you to peace, you know what I'm saying? And to believe in something higher than yourself, you know what I mean? And something you can be relied upon. Like, make the necessary changes. That's really what this life shit is to continuing to evolve. If you don't evolve, a nigga dissolve. You know what I'm saying? So you can't stay in the same place. Be open to new ideas. Like, I'm from the hood, just like all of y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've done some of the shit. You know, I ain't gonna say I was as gangster as James, but, you know, I did my shit, right? You know, but so at this point, but I had to allow myself to evolve and accept new ideas. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of people, you know, it's easier to blame than it is to change. It's easy to say mom or daddy. It was this, it was that. It's the homies. It's this, that, and the other. No, at some point, motherfucker, you making choices. You know,
and anybody that don't allow you to grow past that person, like, I'm going to tell you something.
They're going
to
fall off from you. They're going to fall off
from you. I'm going to tell you, the worst thing I ever heard And I'm not going to get to saying name because it ain't about that. I heard somebody say, I told you I could turn him back into Mob James. And it sounded so evil, bro. It was kind of like, damn. So you just want the homie just to go back and just fuck all this shit off now? Because he's making progress in this life. It bothers you that bad.
Yeah.
You really want to see this man back on the block on his ass.
Yeah. Yeah. They want to progress the life. Hey, still, listen, there's powers that be. That's the devil, bro. It's niggas trying to trick me out of my spot. It's niggas trying to trick James, trick you. And I didn't had them. I didn't almost been tricked too. You know what I'm saying? I done almost fell for the fucking banana tailpipe. But yeah, man, like that's why I say niggas, especially niggas that's doing something, niggas got to be emotionally strong, mentally strong. You know what I'm saying? Spiritually right. strong, all of that shit. You got to keep that armor on. When you nigga, it's a war outside. That's how I look at my life. There's a war outside. So many fucking wars. It's financial war, emotional war. It's bitches trying to get at me, trying to fuck up my relationship and tempt me. Mm-hmm. It's niggas trying to, you know, play with me and trick me off the streets. It's niggas trying to rob me. It's police trying to arrest me. It's, you know what I'm saying? Like, and nigga got to just, you know, keep it tight, bro.
Right. It's a multitude of motherfuckers. And, you know, we call them haters now, man, but it's people out there that really can't stand to see somebody else content. So they want to throw every bit of misery the way they're feeling. Like I tell everybody all the time, if you catch a troll in your comments, me, I don't go out my way to look at shit that don't interest me. But you had the same motherfucker all in your mix. He telling you about this, well, you ain't this and that. And you'd be thinking, man, I'm pretty sure I'm doing better than your bum ass.
Yeah, real talk. You could just tell by the comment, a nigga. You can tell all about a nigga with what come out his mouth. If a nigga is hating all the time and gossiping and talking about other niggas, he talking about you too. He gossiping about you too. You know what I mean? So I always say, like I used to tell motherfuckers all the time, man, you hang around, you know, 9 broke niggas, 9 negative niggas, you finna be the 10th.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying?
So you could tell what a nigga own, you just let him talk. You know?
When we go end it right there, that was perfect.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find a purple mic on the front of your screen, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles podcast are Norman Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MCA Tyler. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt, and our audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of iHeart Media Network and the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.